The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I pay for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And for the audience at home, this is the sound of Google executives with their brains on drugs. This is the sound of a motorcycle burning donuts on the grave of Lowry Mays. And now, here's Nicole.
And now, you know who Lowry Mays is because I've been explaining it to you, right? All right, if you still don't know, email me. I'll fill you in. This is a temporary new intro to the show. Boca Britt Summers, who produces these wonderful intros for the show, is out of town. When she gets back, we'll put our heads together and try again. I stopped having to use the Art Bell one because that's probably one of the reasons my channel, my YouTube channel, got demonetized because I was getting a copyright violation email every day. It wasn't a charge against me. Just the Giorgio Moroder, or whoever the artist is on that original piece of music, would get a piece of the advertising revenue. But now I can't earn advertising revenue on YouTube anymore. Thank you so much, Google. So that's what prompted that. Anyway, so are you all caught up in impeachment fever? I got to tell you, watching it last night was getting a little frustrating. But here's the thing. I have to remember that most people are not as tuned in to this impeachment trial as I am and perhaps as you are, right? Because we are kind of living it. I mean, we realize the historical significance of what's happening. We realize the danger that, the future of this nation is in. We understand why this is such a it's an overused word, but solemn and important event that's happening. And I understand that. So people are, they're in and out in bits and pieces. They're not leaving it on, most of them anyway, all day long and hearing it. Because as we are, and I don't know about you, but the repetition is getting to me. However, repetition is what causes information to sink in. Coming from my many years in the radio business, it all translates to, in a music format, songs played and the rotations. And as someone who worked in radio and played music on the air, it would piss me off that a song would come up in rotation, even on my non-hit radio stations, every 6 hours. It's four times a day. That's too much. But again, most people don't listen 24/7, so they're hearing it in bits and pieces, and maybe only will hear that song once every 3 days. Same thing goes for a commercial. It's frequency. It's reach and frequency. And so they're trying to use those principles, I guess, to get this information out. The other part is they only brought up two articles of impeachment when they so easily could have brought 20. I mean, if there are two impeachable offenses committed by Donald Trump, there are easily 20. And maybe in my spare time over the weekend, I'll start compiling a list. Believe me, it's something I've done in my mind. I just haven't put pen to paper. And frankly, when I do have spare time, that's the last thing I want to get frustrated over is all the impeachable crap, this criminal, this miscreant, this lowlife, con man, piece of shit who's occupying the Oval Office has done. And you don't need me to do that, but I still may get there anyway. All right, so there's a trial going on now. Speaking, I got to tell you, Sylvia Garcia, who I know she was a judge. Oh, I guess they're taking a break now. They seem to break at this time every day. I love how that works out. I wouldn't have aired Sylvia Garcia anyway because, frankly, it's frustrating for me. Because I don't know how she got to be one of the seven impeachment managers. I understand she was a judge, so she's got the paper qualifications. But as I was telling David, look, some of us make it look easy. If you take a stack, a long, in some cases, look at Adam Schiff, 2.5 hour long speech that's all written, that is not an easy feat to accomplish. To read copy off a page on the fly and deliver it live is difficult. Those of us who do it professionally worked long and hard to get the craft down. And yes, I do voiceover work, and still half of my reads I hate and want to scrap them and do it over. So standing up on this very big national stage and delivering what in many cases is very dry copy and trying to read it with enthusiasm and good inflection in your voice and make it sound interesting, it's not something that you just step into. It takes training. It takes practice. And I'm sorry, Sylvia Garcia does not have that. And as much as I enjoyed Val Demming in the House trial, it seemed when she's speaking off the cuff, when she was, pontificating or asking questions, and they were her words, she did great. But when you give her pages after pages after pages to read, it's just deadly. I mean, it's always when doing talk radio, you'll notice that a host, if someone calls in and a caller calls in and says, "I want to read you something," the response you get is a groan. Oh God, please don't, because it's deadly. Most people cannot read on the fly in a compelling and interesting manner. So this is a tough situation these people are put in. And I think Nancy Pelosi did overall a really lousy job of picking who the impeachment managers are. And I said, I know, I'm just so negative. But what can I tell you? I tell you what I think. I'm not going to lie. So anyway, we've got a lot of news to cover, both impeachment related and not. So I want to get into all that. Before we do, I want to start with a funny. I've actually got two. I've got a new Lauren Mayer song. And I've got another one that I just happened upon in my Twitter travels. Somebody, fake Elmo, somebody makes these videos as Elmo, the Muppet Elmo. And his Twitter handle is fake Elmo or something like that. Now, I downloaded this video when I saw it, and I'm glad I did because it got taken down. Yes, this original video that I'm going to play for you got taken down, and it said copyright violation, but it's not copyrighting anything except maybe the character of Elmo. Anyway, I think it's really good. So if you can get into that Elmo state of mind, let's see how quickly they take it down from my channel. Take it away, Elmo. No. All right, now I have my mic back. I'm sorry, that one's not going to work. And I don't know why. We're on the new computer. I've got the new video interface going. Obviously, I screwed something up. I thought I had the settings correct. Damn it. I thought if I turn off my mic and then play that video, you know what? We'll hold the Elmo for tomorrow and we'll try it again with a Lauren Mayer song. Second time's the charm. Let's give it a shot. Cool. It's working.
Impeachment has started. There's no looking back. Things moving so quickly, it's hard to keep track. We're always discovering another new crime. Fasten your seatbelts. It's gonna be a bumpy time. As Trump feels the heat, he acts increasingly unhinged. At his rally speeches, I know we all cringed. About dishwashers, toilets, or light bulbs, he shrieks. Fasten your seatbelts, we're gonna see some bumpy weeks. Impeachable offenses were abetted and aided by witnesses I wish we could go see. So many at the top have been incriminated. We ought to end up with President Pelosi. GOP hypocrites in every stratum. And as they're swearing in, we're swearing at them. Hey, finding good rhymes isn't easily done. Fasten your seatbelts, it's gonna be a bumpy month. If we can get rid of the schmucks in theory, all our institutions will start restoring. Though I've loved having no shortage of material, I can't wait till the news gets boring. Senate Republicans are defiant and harsh, although they took an oath to be fair and impartial. So let's give these louses a rousing rejection. Fasten your seatbelts, it's gonna be a crucial election. It's all about turnout, we gotta remember. Fasten your seatbelts, let's vote the bozos out in November.
Oh, yes. Lauren Mayer, everyone. An original song. Sometimes she does the parody thing. Sometimes she writes original music and lyrics, this being one of those times. Fasten your seatbelts. Good advice. All right. Howie Klein's going to come up at the end of the hour. We got a lot of news to cover, so...
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Do it live.
Okay.
I'll
Bill?
Write it and we'll
got
do it.
It
live.
Okay. God, you're
fucking
so angry.
Thing sucks.
I know the feeling. I get angry too. So here we are. If it's Thursday, it's day three of the impeachment trial of Donald John Trump. The House impeachment managers used yesterday to present the same detailed case they laid out in their report and in the House hearings. Many of the Republicans were hearing this evidence, though, for the first time because they rely for much of their news on Fox, which is anything but news, and some were reportedly kind of shocked by what they were hearing. But of course, in front of the cameras, they're complaining that they haven't heard anything new. Perhaps that's because the rules don't allow the Democrats to present any new evidence or to call any witnesses, at least not yet anyway. But it was the first of 3 days during which the Democrats have a total of 24 hours to present their case against the president. They used 8 of those hours yesterday to explain that as president, Donald Trump engaged in a corrupt scheme last year to leverage U.S. national interests with Ukraine to gain personal political advantage over a rival and then impeded an impeachment inquiry in violation of the Constitution and his oath of office. It's really not difficult, right? Adam Schiff, chair of the House Intelligence Committee and the prosecution's lead trial manager, wrapped things up last night in a nearly 2.5-hour session that began Wednesday yesterday afternoon, in which he summarized what he called uncontested evidence to support 2 articles of impeachment alleging abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. He discusses how Trump obstructed Congress.
Last year, President Trump said that Article 2 of the Constitution will allow him to do anything he wanted. And evidently believing that Article 2 empowered him to denigrate and defy a co-equal branch of government, he also declared that he will fight all subpoenas. Let's hear the president's own words.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president.
But we're fighting all the subpoenas.
True to his pledge to obstruct Congress, when President Trump faced an impeachment inquiry in the House of Representatives, he ordered the executive branch to defy every single request
every
single subpoena. He issued this order through his White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, on October 8, the same counsel that stood before you a moment ago to defend the president's misconduct. He then affirmed it again at a rally on October 10. Following President Trump's categorical order, we never received key documents and communications. It is important to note, in refusing to respond to Congress, the president did not make any formal claim of privilege ever. Instead, Mr. Cipollone's letter stated, in effect, that the president would withhold all evidence in the executive branch unless the House surrendered to demands that would effectively place President Trump in charge of the inquiry into his own misconduct.
Right.
Needless to say, that was a non-starter and designed to be so. The president was determined to obstruct Congress no matter what we did. And his conduct since, his attacks on the impeachment inquiry, his attacks on witnesses, have affirmed that the president never had any intention to cooperate under any circumstance. And why? Because the evidence and testimony he conceals would only further prove his guilt. The innocent do not act this way.
The innocent do not act this way. And that's pretty clear, right? If he had nothing to cover up, then why won't he allow anyone to testify? And why won't he allow any of the documents that have been subpoenaed to be turned over? Therein lies the question. Well, Schiff wrapped up the events yesterday by recounting the timeline, going over it again, and then explaining what happens today.
October is the month where he invites another nation, China, to investigate his opponent. This is the broad outline of the chronology that we went through today. Yep. Tomorrow, we will go through the law, the Constitution, and the facts as they apply to Article 1. Okay. That is the plan for tomorrow. We've
That's
introduced
today.
The case. Yeah. We've gone through the chronology, and tomorrow we will apply the facts to the law as it pertains to the president's abuse of power.
All right. So there's that. Now, in comments he made to reporters before returning to Washington from Davos, Switzerland, Trump said he watched some of the trial on Tuesday between meetings. Almost gleeful, though, in his admission of obstructing Congress when alluding to the subpoenaed documents and witnesses that he wouldn't allow in.
Do I dare? One last question.
Go ahead.
Wait, is that the right one? Hold on. That's the wrong clip. What did I do with that other clip? Hold on, I got to find it. Because what he said was, let me see if I can't find it really fast. Oh, I thought I had everything laid out so perfectly. I hate it when I don't. This is going to be in January. New sound. And it was 22 DJT in Davos. I have my own little shorthand for how I label these sound bites. And working without a producer, you know, I can't just snap my fingers and say, cut one. You know, I gotta do it and find it myself. All right. So this was 22 Trump. Oh, man, this is so not worth it. But it is, because he basically said that he would cut entitlements. Here it is. Here's the clip. All right.
Do I dare? Okay. One last question.
Right.
Go ahead.
Entitlements ever be on your plate?
At some point, they will be. We have tremendous growth. We're going to have tremendous growth this next year. It'll be toward the end of the year. The growth is going to be incredible.
What?
And at the right time, we will take a look at that. You know, that's actually the easiest of all things, if you look, because it's such
a big
percentage.
You're willing to do some of the things that you said you wouldn't do in the past, though, in terms of
Medicare. We're going to look. We also have assets that we never had.
Oh, my God. So there's Donald Trump deliberately saying he will cut entitlements. Entitlements. Now, maybe he doesn't understand the word, which wouldn't surprise me. But when they say entitlements, they're talking about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, just in case you were wondering. Things that Donald Trump said he wouldn't touch when he ran the first time. But then again, he lies every time he opens his mouth. But that wasn't the only kind of perplexing thing he said. This was a weird moment. Again, Donald Trump in Davos. And all you have to do is think back to remember when he praised, he heard that Frederick Douglass was doing some really good work. Apparently, I guess Frederick Douglass and Thomas Edison hang out in the same circles.
Tesla's now worth more than GM and Ford. Do you have comments on Elon Musk?
Well, you have to give him credit. I spoke to him very recently, and he's also doing the rockets. He likes rockets, and he does good at rockets.
He does
too,
good
by
at
the way.
Rockets.
I never saw where the engines
he
come
does
down.
Good
with
at
no
rockets.
Wings, no anything, and they're
no
landing.
Wings,
I said,
no
I've
anything,
never seen
and they
that
land.
Before.
I've never seen that before.
And I was worried about him because he's one of our great geniuses, and
oh
we have to protect
God.
Our genius. You know, we have to protect Thomas Edison.
What?
We have to protect.
We have to protect
all of these
Thomas
people
Edison.
That, came up with originally the light bulb and the wheel
the
and
wheel.
All of these things. And
we
he's
invented
one of our
the wheel?
Very smart people, and we want to cherish those people. That's very important.
Oh,
but he's
my
done
God.
A very good job. shocking how well, you know,
it
how it's
shocking.
Come so fast.
I mean, it is shocking how fucking stupid this man is. That's what's shocking. Thomas Edison and the inventor of the wheel and Elon Musk. The Three Musketeers, or the Three Amigos, 2.0. Anyway, there was one more statement from Trump. You know, I don't like to play his voice as much as you don't like to hear it. But this one, I toyed with the idea of using this clip as the funny to open the show. So get ready. Get ready for a good guffaw, or a belly laugh, or a chuckle, or a chortle, or a giggle, whatever kind of laugh floats your boat.
It's a total hoax. It's a disgrace. They talked about their tremendous case, and it's all done, their tremendous case. They had no case. It's all a hoax. It's a con job.
Four future presidents is abuse of power in impeachable offense.
Well, it depends, but if you take a look at this, and from what everybody tells me, all I do is, I'm honest. I make great deals. I've made great deals for our country. Now we're working with the WTO. You're probably surprised
by that.
But there's been a long-term abusive situation to the U.S. I make great deals for our country, and they're honest deals.
They're honest.
And when you read that transcription, and by the way, it wasn't one call. It was two calls. Nobody likes to talk about that.
It was one call.
There was one call, which was perfect, and then there was a second call, I guess, a couple of months later, which was perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect. He's honest. And I actually had another one where, oh my goodness, then this clip I didn't pull. I wish I had. It was Jay Sekulow, I believe. Yes, one of Donald Trump's attorneys who said Donald Trump is a man of his word. You know, we got to get the laughs in the places we can find them. Here we go. Here, oh, it was Cipollone. It was not Jay Sekulow. It was Cipollone. And again, anything for a good laugh.
They've come here and they've attacked every institution of our government.
We have.
They have attacked.
Really? We've done
the
that.
The president.
Uh-huh.
The executive branch.
Okay.
They have attacked the judicial branch. They
okay.
say they don't have time for courts.
No,
they
that's
have attacked
not,
the United
not,
States Senate.
No, they haven't.
Repeatedly.
No, they
it's
haven't.
It's about time we bring this power trip in for a landing.
Oh, my goodness.
President Trump is a man of his word. He made promises to the American people, and he delivered over and over and over again.
Oh, he delivered,
all
right.
And they come here and say,
oh, he delivered loads
with no evidence,
of shit.
Spending
oh,
the
my
day
goodness.
Complaining that they can't make their case.
All right.
Attacking
a man of his word. Oh, my goodness. All right. So that all happened. And yes, we need to take the laughter where we can get it. Donald Trump is a man of his word. Oh, and Trump, yeah, you're known for your honesty. I'm sorry. I think we've just entered opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Okay, so there we are. Welcome to it. All right, we've got Howie Klein coming up in 7 minutes. So, and I've got so much news to share with you that didn't make it into my 6 minute What's News segment. There's an extended version that I podcasted out. I'm not even going to have a chance to get into all that. So let me just run through a few stories here that are on my radar that are actually we're not really talking about because we're all impeachment all the time. One story to keep an eye on is the United Nations experts saying they're gravely concerned by information suggesting that MBS, yes, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, was involved in hacking the cell phone of Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon and the owner of the Washington Post. This is a weird story. And one of my favorite comments that I saw on Twitter, I wish I would have copied it so I could give it to you verbatim, but somebody suggested that the Saudi government said there needs to be an investigation. And somebody, a journalist, actually responded by saying, and I'm paraphrasing, funny, there was a really good investigative journalist at the Washington Post who could have looked into the story, but you killed him. I need my rim shot back. The Harvey Weinstein trial is going on. There's horse race news, and I don't usually deal with the horse race stuff, but in this case, I will. Bernie Sanders has jumped into the lead among candidates for the Democratic presidential nomination in a brand new CNN SSRS poll released yesterday. Of course, they go to great pains to tell you that his narrow edge over Biden is within the survey's margin of error. But Sanders is sitting at 27%, with Biden at 24%, Elizabeth Warren at 14%. So yeah, they may be within the margin of error, but the gap is widening. Just saying. Trump is today rolling back Obama regulation, clean water rules. This from the guy who says, I love the environment. I'm all about clean air and clean water. But here's two stories. I'm going to get two stories in before we get Howie. You know, well, I'm sitting here frustrated that the House impeachment managers are rehashing the same story over and over and over again because they only brought up two articles of impeachment when they could be going on 20 different subjects. Each of the managers could have their own avenue for, you know, for an article of impeachment, but they only file two. But I'll go with emoluments right now. Donald Trump is today, he may already be here, on his way to Florida to his own Trump National Doral Golf Course to address the Republican National Committee's winter meeting that's being held there this week. The problem is the price gouging. Just ahead of Trump's visit, Trump National Doral raised the nightly rate for its least expensive rooms from $254 a night to $539, which is, quote, just under the maximum per night rate federal government rules permit for a hotel in South Florida. And it's triple the normal per diem rate that employees are supposed to follow. This means that taxpayers will be hit with a bigger bill for Trump's visit than they would have been if the resort had charged its normal rates. And all that money goes right into Dump's pocket. Emoluments clause, an impeachable offense. That should have been another article of impeachment. Just saying. And finally, I am sorry to report this to you, but this directly goes to Donald Trump. You know that iconic doomsday clock? It symbolizes the gravest perils facing humankind. You know, it's ceremoniously, last year, it was set to 2 minutes before midnight. A metaphor, basically, for, you know, the end of the fucking world. Well, the doomsday clock is now closer to midnight than at any point since its creation in 1947. And to underscore the need for action, the time on the doomsday clock is now for the first time being expressed in seconds rather than minutes. So today, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists Science and Security Board, in consultation with the Bulletin's Board of Sponsors, which includes 13 Nobel laureates, moved the doomsday clock from 2 minutes to midnight to 100 seconds to midnight. And as part of their explanation, they say, quote, humanity continues to face two simultaneous existential dangers, nuclear war and climate change, that are compounded by a threat multiplier, cyber-enabled information warfare that undercuts society's ability to respond. The international security situation is dire, not just because these threats exist, but because world leaders have allowed the international political infrastructure for managing them to erode. And it goes on from there, but nothing at all encouraging. They also highlight three worsening factors: nuclear weapons, climate change, cyber-based disinformation. So, I think we need more laughter. I could play Trump again talking about being honest, or Cipollone saying, Donald Trump, he's a man of his word. Or better yet, we can just mix up a couple of Dirty Debbies. I think that's the way to go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits.
I don't like how that's sounding.
I love anything with corn. It's corn.
Oh, that's for scratchy. Only $50,000.
Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, hanging in there. How about you?
Nicole, I had to ask you a question.
Yeah?
Because you're in Florida.
Yes.
I honestly don't know the answer. What's going on with the state Senate president, Bill Galvano, down there?
I don't know. Honestly, I know nothing about it. Is there? I mean, Florida politics are always screwy.
Right. Trump Jr. is carrying on about him, that he's a rhino, and the last thing Florida Republicans need is a, quote, a liberal, gun-toting Bloomberg minion leading them in the state Senate. And he's just going crazy.
A Bloomberg minion?
And, you know, I know DeSantis and Galvano were very close.
Huh.
So I don't know what this is all about. I'm trying to figure it out. It just came across the transom a couple of minutes ago.
Okay, I'll look into it. I don't know anything about it. But, you know, it's typical Don Jr. fashion. If he's a Bloomberg guy, he wouldn't be gun-toting. That's one thing I do like about Michael Bloomberg, is his stance on, you know, gun control.
Oh, I said gun-toting. I'm sorry. I meant gun-grabbing.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say, because that didn't make sense. Gun-grabbing. If he's gun-grabbing, I'm all for it. I don't know. I know nothing about it, but I'll look
no,
into
he's
it.
He's not gun-grabbing. I mean, he's definitely... I mean, this guy is an NRA guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I shouldn't say he's an NRA guy. I don't know that. What I do know is that DeSantis, who's very, very conservative and very tight with Trump, has, you know, praised him as a true conservative. I mean, he's the state Senate president. I mean, Florida, come on.
Yeah, that's Florida. That's all you need to know. And things look right now, Florida is just consumed with the iguanas that are falling out of the trees because we had a little cold snap yesterday. Today it's supposed to get warmer again. But iguanas are not native to South Florida. They were brought in by somebody who, I guess, let a pregnant iguana loose. And now South Florida is inundated with them. And when the temperature dips below, say, 45 degrees, when it gets, you know, under that, iguanas that are everywhere, they freeze and they fall out of trees frozen. They don't die. They're just sort of in a hyper frozen state. And then they thaw out and they scamper away. But it's a weird phenomenon, is these big green iguanas falling out of trees and hitting people in the head.
I wonder if one of them hit Bill Galvano in the head.
or
more likely, Don Jr.
That would be an improvement, I would think. So I'm watching some of this this impeachment trial, Howie Klein, you know, as is my job, I think. And I can only take it in bits and pieces, frankly. I'm a bit perturbed. I feel like such a complainer. But my God, and we talked about this briefly last week, but now that I've seen them in action, I'm even more bummed out about it. Nancy Pelosi's choice of impeachment managers, where the hell did she come up with these people? Sylvia Garcia, I understand she was a judge and she might be a very smart woman, but she's got no charisma and she can't read.
Actually, she has negative charisma.
Yeah. It's horrible.
That's worse than no charisma.
I can't.
I mean, when she starts speaking, TVs click off all over the country. I feel bad about saying that as well.
As do I. And the guy, Crow, he's a veteran, but, you know, Ted Lieu is as well, and he could have spoken to those issues. I don't understand why she picked these people.
Yeah, she doesn't. The last thing in the world that she's looking for is talent and brains. That doesn't go into it. It's all about identity politics. She's balancing, you know, Crow is a conservative, New Dem, so that's why she picked him. Not just, I mean, there are lots of veterans. She could have picked any, but she's looking for a conservative freshman. You know, she has her own ways of looking at these things and her own way of balancing. And that's all. And that's what she does that, with everything. She's always trying to balance everything. It's so time for her to leave. I have told you many times.
Yes,
I can't tell you, but I have.
Right. And I agree with you. I mean, it's just, it's frustrating because, look, they only have seven people. And the fact that they're not allowed to, at this point at least, call any witnesses or introduce any new evidence, it's just them droning on and on and on. And as I was saying earlier, reading from a script, a speech, speechifying, if you will, is a practiced art. And these people don't have the talent. It's you can't just cold read a 50-page document and make it sound interesting. I don't blame these senators for getting up and moving around and leaving the room, even though they're not supposed to, because I can't imagine being held hostage for 12 hours at a time listening to some of these people drone on like this. And I can only imagine once
the terrible
Republicans take over next
the
week.
Are running circles around the Republican lawyers in terms of content.
Yep.
They don't seem to understand. Pelosi doesn't understand television.
No.
I mean, why not get people who she should have gotten people? Her advisor should have told her to get people who can get on TV and hold an audience. And although Schiff is doing well at it, I think.
He is. He really
he's pretty much the only one who is.
I agree.
Hakeem Jeffries is actually doing okay. A bunch of people, a podgepodge of identity politics who have no charisma. Why did she skip over Jamie Raskin? I'll never understand that. Even Swalwell, who I'm not a huge fan of Swalwell's, at least he's telegenic.
And he's good at this.
He knows how to hold an audience and speak. I mean, you know, come on. You know, Ted, people love Ted Lieu.
Yep.
How about putting Ted Lieu on? Instead, she's picked, you know, people who no one has ever heard of and who just like making people leave their TVs and walk away and do anything else.
You know,
I
thought Val Demings was actually very good during the House hearings, but this is a much bigger stage and she's required to read this prepared speech and deliver this. That she's good at asking questions. She was good at doing what she did. She's fumfering left and right. And look, I read live copy on the air. I know how hard it is. And to be thrown into that situation, I think, is unfair to them. If they wanted a woman of color who could do this, Pramila Jayapal, hello.
And Pramila is on the Justice Committee.
I know.
On the Judiciary Committee. Yeah. She would have been great.
She would have been
great.
And
people like her. They want to see what she has to say. I mean, you're being very generous to Val Demings, by the way.
I know.
You know, I mean, she asking questions. They're not her questions. They're the questions her staff gave her.
I know.
Pelosi just did it wrong as usual. No defending it.
Nope. Now, and something else. All right. So this is flying under the radar, obviously, because there's all this other news going on. But this caught my eye yesterday. And of course, Howie Klein, I immediately thought of you. I'm reading from Politico. Top progressives and DCCC reach ceasefire over blacklist. Now, this is a subject we've talked about for months now, where they put a policy in place that no campaign, if any vendor who works within the Democratic Party on campaigns goes to work for a candidate who is mounting a primary challenge against an incumbent, that vendor will be forever blackballed from the Democratic Party. They will not be allowed to work on any sanctioned campaign. And so let me read. So it says top liberals have reached a detente with House Democratic campaign arm in a dispute over a policy that inhibits primary challengers to incumbents, a move intended to unify Democrats in this year's battle to protect their majority and defeat Donald Trump. Some of the House's most influential progressives, including Mark Pocan of Wisconsin and Pramila Jayapal of Washington, said they will contribute tens of thousands of dollars to the DCCC, despite a contentious new rule that blacklists campaign consultants who work for campaigns taking on sitting Democratic members. Now, so the Progressive Caucus was fighting against this. Apparently, AOC, as far as I can tell, seems to be the only one or one of the only ones who says she's still not going to pay the I don't know what to call it, the money, dues to the DCCC, but the rest of them are, and they get nothing in return? This policy stays in place?
We don't know what they got in return. I asked them, and I'm waiting for waiting to hear back. I don't know what the answer is to that, but I'm assuming, knowing these characters, I'm assuming that they made a deal.
Yeah, well, but so far we're not hearing that they got anything, and
we
again,
may never hear.
Right, and it says
we may never.
So far,
but I'm going to guess. I don't know this obviously. I'm just guessing. So absolutely, just guessing that Pramila probably agreed and got the others to agree based on getting a guarantee of a debate on Medicare for All. That's just my guess.
That's possible.
And I've already asked her.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as I find out, I'll let you know.
Okay, please do, because I'm dying of curiosity. And I got to hand it to AOC because she's saying, screw that. I'm not paying this hush money or this ransom or whatever you want to call it, silver coins to get in bed with the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I read the article yesterday. I immediately figured like they're making a trade for something that's important to them.
Hmm. Well, that'll be interesting to see if we ever do learn what happened. So
we will. We'll learn.
Okay.
We may learn off the record, and then I'll have to like tell you like quietly.
Okay. You can whisper it because nobody's hearing. You also marked an anniversary on downwithtyranny.com. I did as well. Tuesday was the 10th anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling on Citizens United, basically saying money equals speech, corporations are people, my friend, and opening the floodgates for Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer to buy, perhaps a presidential nomination.
Let me interrupt you for one second. I know you're going in a different direction, but I just want to respond to that one thing.
Okay, go.
So Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer have spent more money in New Hampshire than all of the other candidates together.
Wow.
On TV and radio spots, mostly TV spots. So they've spent more than everybody else combined. Each of them has spent more. So I'm not saying the two of them combined have spent more than everybody
else
combined.
Each one individually.
Each one of them spent more than all of the other Democrats combined. That's how much they've spent. Since they started, each of them has lost half of their support.
Wow.
And so Steyer is now at 2%.
Huh.
Actually, he was at 3%. He's now at 2%. And Bloomberg, who was at 2%, is now at 1%.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, this is a brand new poll that came out today that I'm sure you saw it already from WBUR, which is a very reliable polling effort. They know how to poll in New Hampshire, and and this is the one where Bernie is like double digits ahead of everybody else. And, Mayo Pete is like, is second and far away from Bernie, not even close. And then Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden are fighting it out for who's going to be in third place.
Wow.
Have you seen that poll yet?
I haven't seen that one. I saw the new CNN poll that has Bernie way out in front. And of course, he's at 27, Biden's in second place at 24. But of course, they have to say still within the margin of error. Okay, thanks, CNN.
Yeah, so that was a national poll.
Right.
New Hampshire poll is important because they're the first primary,
right,
as opposed to a caucus. And Bernie, I'm saying, is double digits ahead of anybody else. Double digits. I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was 12 points ahead of anyone else.
Wow.
He's doubled his support since the December poll. So, there's huge momentum behind Bernie. But anyway, I just wanted to say, since you had brought up the big spending, and I know that that's what we're going to be discussing, I just wanted to bring up that the big spending doesn't always do what the people intended to do. I think that Bloomberg and Steyer have pissed off the voters so badly in New Hampshire that every time they see an ad from one of those guys, those guys lose support.
Hmm.
That's how annoyed New Hampshire voters are with the spend on advertising. They don't want to be they don't want to be thought of as someone who is selling their vote, for one thing, and they're annoyed. They're watching TV, and all of a sudden, there's Bloomberg again. Although today, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but today Bloomberg did a viciously anti-Trump ad for Fox and Friends, which was so funny.
Really?
It's so great. And on Fox and Friends, they're in their own bubble over there, and people who watch that channel and watch that show, they don't know the thing. They're completely unaware of the stuff that we think about every day. So they don't know the kind of stuff that that Bloomberg put into his ad, and there it was on Fox and Friends. Trump went insane. He was climbing the walls. He got so crazy. And so he's like screaming about Mini Mike. That's his new name for Mike. Michael Bloomberg. Yeah. He was calling him Little Michael. And I know that from inside, I know that Bloomberg was flipping out over that. And every time Trump called him Little Michael, he put more money in against Trump.
Oh, my.
But now he's calling him Mini Mike.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I'm sure,
I mean, it's not
Bloomberg
funny. When you think about it, the fact that the president of the United States has stupid, you know, ugly nicknames for his political opponents is just reprehensible. I mean, it's embarrassing. What is this, fourth grade student government
love
election
it. They
time?
Love it. Remember, to them, this is all one big giant reality TV show.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden there's a new character, Mini Mike. They're so happy.
It is truly the dumbing down of America. But, the point that I wanted to get to that casts such a shadow over all this, and it goes back to the whole Citizens United thing and money equals speech. The fact that every day, and the only presidential email lists I signed up for are Bernie's and Warren's. I still get them from everybody. Don't ask me how, but there it goes. And every day I'm inundated with these requests for money.
You unsubscribe to them?
Of course I do. And they still send them. I'm on Pete's.
Really?
I know they're not supposed to do it, but they do. You know who's
I've been doing is calling the guys who sell the lists to these campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And I yell at them and tell them to take my name off their list. And they have been doing it.
Wow.
So, you know, like every now and then I'll get to the owner of one of these firms that sell the lists, and you know, they don't want to be sued. They don't want to, it's easy to sort of play a little hardball with these
Interesting.
Guys.
Interesting.
They do take you off.
Yesterday, I popped up on, what's her name, Christy Smith? Is that the DCCC choice running against Cenk Uygur?
They bought every list
on
the face
God.
Of the earth.
It's like, how did I get on this one? Like, no.
Yeah, they're scamming everyone. They are the worst right now. They are the
horrible.
Worst. Christy Smith, she's running in
25. California's 25.
Katie Hill seat in California 25, the Santa Clarita area. And they're heavily supported by the Democratic establishment.
Yep.
And they've managed to get their hands on every single list. They've got loads of money. They're buying what they can't get for free. And they're just spamming the whole country.
Yes. Well, I know. Believe me, I know I never signed up for her list. And there she popped up yesterday. So, but the thing that
and she's using Republican talking points, by the way, in her campaign. That's what she does. She talks about exactly the same words that Republicans use. Like, she's in favor of access to health care.
Oh, God.
Well, we know what that means. Access means if you can pay for it, you get health care.
Hey, there's a doctor down the street. I have access to it. Can't afford it, but there's a doctor there that technically I have access to. Right.
Yes. And she is running against
Cenk Uygur,
who is for Medicare for All.
That's right.
And, you know, she's being supported by, every single person in the entire state of California has endorsed her.
Well, every party person, including
the good ones.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh God, I hate hearing that.
Everyone, the whole party. I mean, it from Feinstein and Pelosi on down, they have put out the word. You and everyone has to endorse.
But you say
her.
The good ones. So do you mean Ted Lieu?
Oh yes.
Oh no. Oh, I hate hearing that. All right. But the point that I was getting at, though, is the fact
before Cenk got in.
Right. Okay. No, that's too bad. But the fact that the thing that they are most motivated by, the one underlying message from every campaign email is, we need your money. It's how much you donate to us that shows how popular we are. It's how much you donate to us that determines whether or not we get on the debate stage. It's the money that you will send to us that we can now spend on running television ads that determines our standing in the polls. That is really fucked up. That's just wrong. It shouldn't be about money at all. Money should have no role in politics. We should vote with our voices, with our feet, with our actions, but money should have nothing to do with it. Just think, all the money that we are donating in an election year like this to be blown on TV advertising, all the good we can do with that money, how many people we could feed, how many homeless people we could house, how many people's medical debt we can clear up. But instead, they're raising money and money and more money to advertise a political campaign. There's something really perverse about that.
I agree. And you've got, you know, some, when you go back to someone like Christy Smith, she is taking immense sums of money from corporate PACs, and she's not hiding it. Mm. You know, because she, in effect, she is a Republican. She was, and she still is, and will always be. And she is just taking, you know, unashamedly taking money from every bad character you could think of. And then she's still coming to us and asking for more money. Please send me $5. And while she's taking giant PAC contributions from people who are trying to stop health care, for example. So, you know, you gotta watch out for these people. Now, one of the things that I've been writing about on my blog is you get a lot of these DCCC kind of candidates saying, we will not take corporate PAC money. And they're just lying. Mm-hmm. They do take it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it is filtered through leadership PACs. So they don't take it directly. So in other words, Steny Hoyer will write them a $5,000 PAC from his, I'm sorry, a $5,000 check from his leadership PAC. He does that all the time. So where did he get it? He's not a wealthy man. How did he get the $5,000? Well, that came from, you know, a private prison PAC, or I don't know if he takes from private prisons. I shouldn't be saying that.
Right.
It comes
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Where he gets money is from corporate PACs. And then, so the candidate can say, well, I didn't take any money from a corporate PAC. Well, the candidate knows where the money's coming from.
Right.
I mean, you know, Hoyer isn't manufacturing the money. It's coming from corporate PACs via him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when they get into Congress, then they say, well, we just said we weren't going to take corporate money from during that particular race. You know, now that's long past, and, you know, we have to, because how are we going to compete with the Republicans if we don't? And this is something that they will say. So you have to be careful. So, you know, there are people who are saying they will never take corporate money, ever, and those are the progressives. And then there are slyly the conservatives from the Republican wing of the Democratic Party, the Blue Dogs and the New Dems. What they say is, we won't take any corporate money during this race.
Right.
And when they're a challenger, when they're just trying to get in, people don't generally offer challengers corporate money anyway. So when someone says, I'm not taking any corporate PAC money, well, you know, it wasn't offered.
Right. Right. But
what does it really mean? But when they say they will never take it for their entire career, that's something to pay attention to.
You know, and I got to say,
you get that with progressives. They will say that. I will never take it. I am against it and will never take it, period. End of story. And then you get, you know, most of these Blue Dogs and New Dems, they don't feel that way at all. They won't take it when it's not offered. But as soon as it's offered, they'll be gobbling it up, and they
right.
do. And they
then,
always do.
Let me ask you, though, then, about Elizabeth Warren, who I still like, despite her recent missteps. She's still my number two choice. In fact, my only choice other than Bernie Sanders. I'm firmly in Bernie's camp.
You're not in the Yang Gang?
No, I'm not in the Yang Gang. I think he should be appointed, you know, Secretary of Workplace Innovation or something like that. I think there's a role for him in a good progressive administration, but certainly not as president or commander in chief. But that aside, Elizabeth Warren disappointed me when it came out that her whole philosophy on not taking corporate PAC money is, well, during the primary. But once we get to the general, all bets are off because I can't go into it with a disadvantage.
Yep. Well, what Democrat haven't we heard that from other
Bernie.
Than Bernie?
Well, that's it.
Yeah, that's Bernie. That's right.
And that's why Bernie Sanders stands alone.
That was the same thing that Obama said.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Bernie Sanders is really showing himself to be the one who stands apart. I think that's why he's surging now. I think the more people learn about who these candidates are, they're realizing, and as good as Elizabeth Warren is, I'm not dissing her, and I still like her. I think she's getting some bad advice, and as Bernie did last time. I think she's got some people around her who are not operating in her best interest. But I think it's becoming more and more apparent that he walks the talk, that Bernie Sanders is the real deal. He's the genuine article. He's the one who, what he's been saying all these years is what he actually believes, and he still believes it, and it doesn't matter how much money you throw at him or any kind of deals you try to push his way, it's not going to change his principles, and I think that's what people are attracted to right now.
Yeah, well, some people, voters are attracted to someone with principles. The Democratic Party establishment is horrified.
That's right.
Because it puts them in a bad light. If Bernie is going on principles, and which isn't something that they're into, you know, what does that make them look like? So that's why they're coming down so hard on him. You know, that and the fact that he's doing so incredibly well right now is why that, you know, the move against Bernie
why
is gigantic.
They're freaking out. But
now,
I have two questions
that you might know the answer to.
Okay.
One was, did you hear about a Biden endorser, an important Biden endorser, who just unendorsed Biden and went over to Bernie?
Yes, I did. Who was it? I did hear
about that.
It.
Yes, who was that? That's what I want to know.
I can't remember.
I heard about it today. I don't know who it was. I wrote to a couple of the guys in Bernie's campaign a little while ago and asked them, but haven't heard back yet. And I would like to find out about that. The other thing that I was wondering about, I already forgot, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so let me run this by you, and maybe it'll come back to you, and maybe I'll find out who that endorser was, because I read that this morning, too. You know who Seth Abraham is? Seth Abramson? He's a commentator.
Yes.
Okay, so he makes some sense. But last night I was up, I couldn't sleep, I don't sleep at night, and I'm on Twitter, and I see a tweet from Seth Abramson that reads, quote, "As Biden keeps fading, I don't know at what point the DNC realizes it has to get behind Warren to keep Sanders from the nomination. But whatever point the DNC figures that out at will probably be too late. That's the DNC's history of short-sightedness." To which I responded, because, you know, me, "Are you saying it's the DNC's place to steer the nomination away from one candidate toward another? Are you actually advocating that?" And then I think I added on later, "Haven't we seen this movie before? What the fuck?"
Yeah. Well,
and that's
unfortunately, that is exactly what the DNC does. This guy, Seth, would probably have no inkling that, you know, what he's saying sounded awkward and bizarre.
You think?
Because to him, that's the normal world that he's living in.
Oh my God.
I mean, DC is not like the rest of America.
No, but the fact that he's advocating for the DNC to step in and save the party from Bernie Sanders,
that's the one that's getting the most votes. I mean, Obama, there's rumors now that Obama is so upset that Bernie is winning that he's going to make a national address. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. But it was, you know, someone wrote about that on Twitter. A reporter for Fox News wrote about it on Twitter. And I wrote back, like, I don't know if this is true. I don't think it's true. But if it is, there could be a co-broadcast on Fox News and MSNBC hosted by Rachel Maddow and Sean Hannity. And they could have Neera Tanden and Jim Jordan doing the color commentary in between.
Oh, my God. By the way, the official who changed their endorsement from Biden to Bernie is a South Carolina politico, somebody big in South Carolina.
Right. I know.
Dolly Myers.
D-O-L-L-Y?
No, D-A-L-H-I Myers. A black woman, first elected to the Richland County Council in 2016, said, told the Associated Press on Wednesday that she was making the change in part because she values what she sees as Sanders' strength in being able to go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump in the general election. Quote, "I looked at that and I thought, he's right. He's unafraid and he's unapologetic. Well, except when he apologized to Joe Biden for something he didn't do wrong. I like the fact that he is willing to fight for a better America, for the last, for the least, the fallen, the left behind, is the quote.
Do me a favor. Could you just email me the URL where I could find that?
I'm sorry. Say again.
Can you email me the URL so that I can, I want to write about that.
You got it. I will send it to you right now.
Appreciate it. That sounds interesting. And, you know, Bernie is having a problem in South Carolina. But my theory is if he really does as well as I think he's going to do in Iowa and New Hampshire and then Nevada, I think South Carolina will come along really well, too. And then the DNC, hopefully, will all commit suicide and we won't have to worry about them anymore.
And on that note, we're out of time. Howie Klein, find him, of course, at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America Pack. And here every Thursday with me. Thank you, Howie.
Thanks.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. And you will do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep your head up. Go Bernie.